This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
For a little bit of wake-up music this morning. Good morning. How about the Beatles? You remember that movie where, what's his name, was going down to Chicago?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Thank you, Big Ed. Hey, it's great to have you back, too. Big Ed was away last time I was here. Seems like old home week. I got the Beatles. I got Big Ed. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, to entertain you and to make you smarter than you were before you heard the show. And along with Big Ed, we thank you for joining us on this Friday morning, November the 8th already. Wow. We will be talking in a few minutes with the executive director of the Libertarian Party, Dan Fishman, about whether libertarians are as relevant as they should be, and also whether libertarians themselves, people who call themselves libertarians, should work through the Libertarian or the Republican or the Democratic Party to achieve freedom. So stay tuned for that. And while the stock market reaches another record high, you'd never know it if you're listening to the mainstream media, the pummeling of Donald Trump continues. I mean, it doesn't make any difference how good things are. The dark side is always in the forefront when it comes to the mainstream media. Anyway, the master barber is back to discuss all things impeachment and the possible entry of Michael Bloomberg. Remember him? Michael Bloomberg into the presidential race and more. So stay tuned. And put away your smartphones because they may be shortening your life. A new study shows all the stress you are and strain you're putting on yourself just by carrying that thing around. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, we've done the greatest movies of all time before, but we've never done what Rotten Tomatoes considers the greatest movies of all time. So, the 10 best movies of all time coming up. By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, just as simple as that. Best price, best haircut. The guy's got over 50 years experience. Can you imagine how good you are when you have that many years of experience? Look at Ed. He's got 50 years of experience running a board. Look how great he is. He does everything. So you got to get over to the best barbershop in town. It's in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. That is just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Well, we got so much going on, as usual. The stock market. Let's start with some good news. U.S. stocks are now at a record high as of the end of the day yesterday, after the U.S. and China agreed to roll back tariffs in the event of Phase 1 trade deal is reached. So apparently the stock market was responding to the good news from China. You know, it's over 27,000 points. It's like 27,600 points. Think about it. If you had $10,000 about 20 years ago and you let it ride in the stock market from 20 years ago, do you know how much money you would have? I have no idea. However, I think it would be a lot because the stock market is doing very well. Not just the Dow Jones, the Standard & Poor's and the NASDAQ. They're all doing well. So that's good news. Earlier yesterday, Trump celebrated the record highs in a tweet. He's always on his tweet-a-phone or whatever you call it. I guess, what does he do when he gets up in the morning? Does he go to a little room with a tweet-a-phone? A little keyboard? Does he sit down there in the, you know, kind of in the dark and start typing away? Because apparently he gets on, he starts tweeting at 3 in the morning, Ed. He starts tweeting away. Are you up at 3 in the morning?
No, but I told you, we had his day figured out. He gets up, he has his coffee, his advisor comes in and tells him what he's accused of today.
Yes.
And then he tweets.
He does. I mean, the guy's up at 3 in the morning. I don't know what time he goes to bed, but you know he's up late because we've seen him carrying on all over the country with those rallies. And, you know, he goes past 10 o'clock Eastern time, and he's got to go back. So how many hours? He must get only about 2.5 hours of sleep.
I wonder if he doesn't have a regular sleeping schedule. You know, going to bed at 11 or 12. I know he doesn't watch the news
Well, he watches stuff. Fox News. Fox News all the time. So I don't know. It's crazy. But anyway, the news is good from the stock market. I thought we would start the show off with that, just because we've had so much Trump bashing. By the way, speaking about wealthy New York businessmen, look at this segue. Mayor Michael Bloomberg, former mayor of New York, just can't sit still. He's got to pop up again. He's expected to file paperwork in the Alabama Democratic presidential primary. You don't even know which side he's going to run. Hasn't he run as a Republican, an independent, and a Democrat before? Talk about a guy that doesn't know where he is. But he's wealthy, and when you're a multi-billionaire, he's probably rich. I'm sure he's richer than Donald Trump. And so he can run any darn, he could run as a libertarian, I guess. I wonder if he'll ever do that. But anyway, he's thinking about running. And the reason is he doesn't like any of the Democratic presidential candidates. They are apparently not good enough. In other words, they're not echoing what he believes. He doesn't think much of Elizabeth Warren. And he had announced earlier this year he would not seek the Democratic nomination. But in a statement obtained by Fox News yesterday, his political advisor says he's worried that the current crop of Democratic presidential candidates is, quote, not well positioned. I like that term, unquote.
You know what the Democratic race reminds me of? Remember when you were in school and you had like...
It's been too long for me to remember.
Okay, you had like a month to do this paper and you kept putting it off.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get to it. And then you did it like at the last minute and you failed terribly. That's what the race, the Democratic race seems to me.
Really?
There's no clear cut, you know, who's going to, you know, are we going to go, you know, are we going to do Biden or is somebody going to sneak in? Are we going to roll back Hillary again and unfold her a couple of times and bring her back in? And,
you know, she is thinking about it.
Well, of course she's thinking about it. She wants the grand tour first. She wants everybody to beg her to come back in. But
kiss your pinky ring.
It's not going to be like it was before. It's just not.
Well, I agree.
The
with
ugliness
that.
Really oozed out after the election last time.
Who sits in front of Michael Bloomberg and tells him that he's going to have any support? Because if you look at his support, it's nil.
None.
You know, so I guess if you surround yourself with sycophants, is that the word? And they keep telling you how great you actually think you are. So you can hire people if you got enough money to tell you how great you are all the time. And I think Michael Bloomberg is in that sort of thing.
Yeah,
he actually thinks he's more popular than he is.
Half the Democrats can't even spell Bloomberg.
Neither can he, from what I understand. That's not being fair. Of course he can. All right, listen. We're going to go to something completely different. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to talk with the executive director of the Libertarian Party, Dan Fishman.
Every night I hope and pray a dream lover will come my way.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on The Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back on a Friday morning. Golly, it's Friday already. That's nice to hear. And delighted to have Dan Fishman, who is executive director of the Libertarian Party, join us
here. Hey, Paul, how's it going?
It's fine, Dan. It's a real pleasure to talk with you. Thank you for joining us. I know that now that we're getting into, I guess you could call it, less than a year to go in the 2020 election, with everybody running as they are. And I wanted to find out, first of all, Dan, a little bit about the possible candidate for presidency from the Libertarian Party.
I can tell you a little bit about it.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
We just had a debate in South Carolina with six participants. Adam Kokesh, Joe Jorgensen, Dan Berman, incidentally, all this information is online at sclp.org. You can see the information about the debate. Dan Berman, Vermin Supreme, Kim Ruff, and one more person. I'm forgetting who I said. I'll call up the list in just
a
second.
That's all right. But you got a list of good ones.
But we also had people announced, actually, who weren't in the debate. So, for example, Jacob Hornberger, who's the founder of the Future Freedom Organization, Future Freedom Foundation, announced at the debate. So he didn't qualify for the debate. So it's still, we're still, further on in our process. Like you were talking about earlier, how Bloomberg has said that he's going to jump into the Democratic race. Although, you mentioned you wondered if he might run as a libertarian. Michael Bloomberg has done one of the most anti-libertarian things of all time. When he was mayor of New York, he passed an ordinance that forbid restaurants from giving food at the end of the day to homeless shelters.
Yeah.
So he's not going to run as a libertarian.
No, he's not. I didn't say he had. I said I wondered if he had, he'd run in so many other parties.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, no, he's just one of those guys that's so far out there. You're exactly right. He's surrounded by sycophants. And
Dan, I want to ask you a little bit, and then we'll get into maybe the case for the Libertarian Party. I would like you to kind of define what the Libertarian Party stands for these days. I know most people know the generalities, but give us a few specifics about what you stand for.
I can do it really easily. We fundamentally stand for only two things. Number one, you own yourself. Okay, that ought to be self-evident to everybody. Take the other argument. If you didn't own yourself, it implies that somebody else could own you. We actually fought a war about that in this country. People aren't allowed to own other people. We believe in freedom. And when you own yourself, that means you get to control what goes into your body, what happens to your body, and you get to keep anything that you earn with your body. So your wages belong to you because you've earned them. So that's number one, self-ownership. Number two, we believe that it's not okay to use force against other people for economic or political gain. So you can defend yourself all you want. We are strong supporters of the Second Amendment. We believe whatever you need to do to feel safe, to defend yourself, you're allowed to do that. But you can't use force against other people because they might be doing something that you don't approve of. As long as they're not impacting your liberty, you don't get to use force against them. So then all of our positions are derived from those two. So as an example, people know that libertarians have been in favor of legalizing cannabis for forever. We're not in favor of legalizing cannabis because we want you to get high. I mean, if you do, that's okay. But we're in favor of legalizing cannabis because, number one, you own your body. Nobody else gets to tell you what to put into it. Nobody else gets to tell you, if this medicine helps you with your PTSD, you can't have it because the government said it's illegal. We believe that you get to do whatever you want with your body. And number two, we're not going to use force against you because you decide to do something with your body. So we're not going to arrest parents. We're not going to break up families because a parent is using marijuana to help them sleep. We believe, number one, you own your body. Number two, non-aggression. Marriage equality, same thing. Okay, we've supported marriage equality since the beginning. And I want to point out that, you know, even in 2008, Hillary Clinton said she believed marriage was between a man and a woman. The libertarians, we've always believed in marriage equality. The reason why, number one, you own your body. You want to say that you're married, that's fine. You don't need the government to bless that. You get to say that. And number two, we're not going to use force against you. We're not going to arrest people because they call themselves married. It's a crazy concept. So everything, any political position you can talk about, you go to number one, you own your body. Number two, we're not going to use force against you. And you can figure out what the libertarian position is.
Well, that's a very good, I think, summation. I used to say when people would say, what's a libertarian? Well, kind of my rights end where your nose begins, kind of thing. You know what I mean? And, and I consider myself a libertarian. But let's be honest, there's a lot of libertarians that are in other parties. And when you ask them, why don't you just be in the Libertarian Party, they kind of dance around the issue. But I think it comes down to, well, I can get more done if I'm a Democrat, or I can get more done. For instance, Rand Paul or Ron Paul.
Yep.
They were Republicans, but they were libertarians at the same time. And, you know, Ronald Reagan used to call himself a libertarian. So there's libertarian tendencies, but there's also libertarians that are in other parties.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. And I like to say there's a libertarian named Jim Bouchard who ran for office in Maine, wrote a book called Crazy Angry Libertarian, where he said, nobody becomes a libertarian. Nobody transforms to become a libertarian. People discover that they've always been libertarians, because fundamentally, everybody has some issue where they think the government has done me wrong here. In Florida, you guys have had a couple of, you know, huge cases, right? The people who were told they couldn't grow vegetables in their front yard, and the man who was arrested for feeding the homeless. You know, these are great examples of sort of government getting in your way. And when that one issue strikes and you realize, oh my God, I can't believe what the government is doing here, you start to realize, this is because this is my issue. And when other people have been talking about their issue, I have to honor that too if I want people to honor the place where I think government needs to get out of our lives.
But Dan,
I'm
sorry to interrupt you, but you just mentioned as an example something that actually might be used against the Libertarian Party. If somebody, as an example, somebody were going to grow vegetables in their front yard, and the neighbors and the neighbors felt it was decreasing the value of their homes to have that guy growing vegetables, or even if he had a weed palace in his front, whatever he wants to do. Now, would a libertarian say he can do whatever he wants to do? There are covenants, local laws, you know, local governments that like to enforce those kinds of laws. And I think you have to be very careful about having no government, because no government can indeed become chaotic as well, right?
Here's the thing. If you want to sign an agreement that everybody signs onto that says, okay, in our neighborhood, we're all going to only have either grass or flamingos in the front yard. I think that's the Florida standard.
There you go.
Then that's fine. If people sign to it and they agree to do it, that's fine. That's a contract. Libertarians love contract. We agree in some sense to do that. And you can argue, you might make an argument that the local charter includes that. But for me, fair disclosure would be to tell everybody, when you buy property, you can't do this in your front yard. And so people have to decide, what do they want to decrease their property values more? To either tell everybody you are not allowed to buy to grow vegetables in your front yard, or to have somebody growing vegetables in their front yard.
Well, and my point is, Dan, and I agree with that, my point is that that's still local government, however you want to call it. You call it a contract or whatever. And I think that, and maybe we could get to a larger issue, open borders, immigration.
Yeah.
Now, give us, if you would, your stance on allowing people to just cross over, as an example, the Mexican border, without doing it legally. What is the Libertarian Party's stance on that?
So here's my basic premise on it. Okay, the definition of socialism is the government controlling the means of production. And that means anywhere. And that includes the labor market. So if the government tells me that I can't hire somebody I want to from, I'm a former software engineer. We used to hire people from Eastern Europe, from India, from China all the time. At one point in time, the government put quotas on because they wanted to control the market. That's the definition of socialism. When the government controls the market for labor, that is socialism. And you can certainly make an argument that we want to have communities that are communities are voluntarily people who come together, et cetera. But the government controlling that thing, the government saying that people can't come into certain places, the Libertarian Party does not agree with that, because socialism is one of those things.
Okay.
That when you give the government, you allow the government to start becoming socialist, everything goes out the door.
Okay, so you're giving no power to the federal government. They don't have the right to regulate borders?
I don't think that the government has the right to tell me who I can and cannot hire. I would grant to the government we're not going to get to a place right now where the government's going to immediately allow people to come in and out, cross over the border wherever you want or anything like that. The law is not going to change that way in a practical sense right away.
No, I know. But
in the very real sense, something that we could do right now is to end work quotas and say, people who want to come in and work, let them all in.
Yeah, but wait. So you're just allowing the border to be completely open? Is that what you're saying?
I would say anybody who wants to come in and work in the United States.
Yeah, but they might not want to come in and work. They might want to come in and pillage. They might not want to have anything to do with work. They might want to come in and do all kinds of things that you might not agree with. They might want to enter your house.
They might. That's a risk we have. I mean, if you look at who's committing the most crimes in the United States, right, it's dominantly American citizens.
But do you see...
There's no indication that people who come in from another country are a greater risk. If anything, it's been shown that people who come in from other countries are much more likely to have a job than Americans.
Dan,
much
this
more
is...
likely to pay taxes than Americans.
But do you see, Dan, that as soon as what I would call most Americans hear that, they will cross out the Libertarian Party, if that indeed is their philosophy, because most Americans believe we should secure our borders and allow legal entry, but not allow everybody to go pouring in. Otherwise, why even draw a boundary? Why have a southern boundary or a northern boundary? Because it's a country without boundaries at that point.
Sure. And here's the thing. We're not going to achieve everything at once. So if we could talk about what are the things that we can do, because fundamentally, our country is a democracy. Libertarians believe that people's individual rights should obviously be...
Well, it's a republic, actually. It's a representative...
Right,
it's a republic.
It's a republic.
It's not a true democracy.
It's a republic that determines its representatives through a democratic process.
That's right. It, through its representatives.
Right. To that end, even if libertarians were to elect a president in 2020, which, I have high hopes that we do, we're unlikely to control both houses of Congress as well. So the question becomes, what can practically be done? Now, in terms of our open border stance, I want people to understand that there are things that we've advocated for that people thought were crazy a long time ago. Legalizing cannabis, people thought that was crazy. Marriage equality, people thought that was crazy. Legalizing sports gambling, we've been talking about that for forever. People thought that was crazy. Legalizing sex work, people think that's crazy.
Legalizing what?
But sex work.
Oh, you mean prostitution and the like, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Those are things that people have, people are coming around on. Like, you can hear mainstream candidates in the old parties now talking about legalizing sex work as well.
Okay.
The question becomes, what are you willing to authorize the government to use force for? Because when you authorize the government to use force against the people, it always goes overboard. And so when we talk about, you know, what the government was allowed to do with the war on drugs, the war on drugs ended up becoming a war on Americans. No question about it. You look at the fatalities Americans killed during the quote-unquote war on drugs, and it's shocking. It has absolutely been a war. And so our argument was, you know what? There's all sorts of things that you can point to and say, a crime is a crime. When somebody hurts somebody else, absolutely, we should arrest them. We should use our police powers to stop criminals. However, not everybody who smokes a joint is truly a criminal. We're not going to use police powers against them. And we feel the same way about immigration and about the borders. Anybody who breaks the law in the United States, whether they're a citizen or not, we should arrest them. Anybody who uses violence against anybody else, we should arrest them. However, when you think about the recovery of Katrina, okay, the way Katrina was rebuilt, that was clearly a lot of illegal labor. People who came in, who wanted to work construction jobs, who would work cheaply, would work hard, and did wonderful things. Florida, right, you guys rebuild the entire state from a hurricane every 18 months or so. A lot of that labor is probably illegal. You tell me, you know Florida better than I do. But the people who want to come in, who want to work hard, who want to, all they want to do, right, is just make a dollar, those are great Americans. We want to have them in. Don't judge them by their place of origin. Judge them by their intention. Criminals, we should absolutely treat like criminals. Somebody who wants to come to our country and work hard,
yep,
that's not criminal. That's American.
Well, listen, Dan, I certainly appreciate your thoughts. One final question, and we're talking with Dan Fishman. He's the executive director of the Libertarian Party.
And then I'm going to ask you for a couple plugs.
When will you be selecting the Libertarian presidential candidate?
So our convention will be in Austin, Texas, May 21st through 25th, and we will select the president there.
Okay.
If people from Florida wanted to be a delegate, they could. So LPF.org is the Libertarian Party of Florida. You could go to the convention, and you could be selected as a delegate. Florida has a lot of elected Libertarians. They will be sending a lot of delegates to Austin. So a lot of your listeners who wanted to, if they feel like, and you know, I know your listeners probably do identify as Libertarian, they want to influence the direction of the party, LPF.org is a way to get there. Last plug,
perfect,
we're going to be in Miami next weekend, LP.org/Miami. We're having a dinner event. The LNC chair of the party, Nick Sarwark, who's been a guest on your show,
yes,
and I will be there in person. So we'd love to have anybody there who wants to be there, LP.org/Miami.
LP.org/Miami for not this weekend, but next weekend in Miami.
Well, next weekend, exactly right.
Well, Dan, thank you so very much. Very kind of you to come on and chat with us, and I know we'll talk down the road.
I loved it, Paul.
Absolutely.
I'm excited. Thank you very much.
Our pleasure. Thanks, Dan. Dan Fishman, all right. We're going to take our break. And waiting in the wings and chomping at the bit, Andrew the Master Barber will be joining us. We'll talk all things President Trump.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all... Hey, did you know there's a live psychology talk show Thursday and Friday at noon where you can call in and get free guidance and also learn several different topics relating to ending the stigma on mental health? It's called Moments of Clarity on WTAN 1340 AM. It's with licensed therapist Tiffany Warner, who will try to end the stigma on mental health. But the only way you can do that is to listen to Moments of Clarity Thursday and Friday at noon on WTAN 1340 AM, the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on the last day of the week and the last segment of our show for the week, Freedom Works, and we're delighted to have our buddy, the Master Barber, the carrier of all things mainstream America, with us. And Andrew, I know that you are berserk with happiness because your buddy Michael Bloomberg is probably going to enter the presidential race. And you always told me that if, when it comes to New York billionaires, those are the kinds of people that should be president.
That's right. You know, the Big Gulp better be careful. If you remember, he was the one that tried to get rid of the Big Gulp in New York City.
That's right. And he will bring, he will bring the Big Gulp across the country now.
They could put 7-Eleven out of business, you know.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. I mean, so Bloomberg is going to possibly enter the race. And I would suppose, but I want to get your thought on it, that as soon as all of those other Democratic candidates heard that, they just became kind of depressed. Because here's a guy that he probably, would you not think he would be Joe Biden's biggest concern?
I don't think any of them or anybody's concerned, to be honest with you.
Okay.
At this point, Paul.
Uh-huh.
At this point, you know, look, from what I think, the guy that you just said on the show, I think Bloomberg would be a perfect libertarian candidate for this guy.
Yeah, he could be in certain ways.
Yeah, and let's open the borders for the people that want to work. You know, I don't care who they want to come into work. Get vetted before they come in, like everybody else. What is this open border crap with all these people?
I know, and I think it's to the, I hate to say it because I was once a member of the Libertarian Party, but I do think that that is their very big Achilles heel. You got to have your borders protected. That's
why
a basic
do you have
function.
A border?
Exactly, yeah.
Why do you have a border? Any other country don't let nobody in, and they got nothing to offer. Here they're coming in because we're giving them everything. What are they, nuts?
I tell you, I've never heard a good answer from them. But I want to get to some good news. The stock market. It reached another record high, but you wouldn't know it by the mainstream media. They continue to pummel Donald Trump. And I was watching and listening to C-SPAN this morning. Why didn't they bring up the fact that the stock market, reaches...
It's all-time records, Paul.
It's all-time records.
All-time records, the history of the country.
Yeah, so...
But Trump, damn Trump, they got to impeach him, man, because the stock market's doing too good. The people shouldn't be allowed to have that kind of money they're making, Paul.
Apparently, that's what they think.
What is wrong with these people?
I don't know what's wrong with them. Now, Eric Trump goes on The View.
The View? Oh, I saw that. I had to
put
it on the computer. Oh, yes.
Okay. And apparently, he really socked it to them a little bit.
Yeah. I'd like to go on that show, to be honest with you. I think they'd be bleeping out everything I'd be telling these women.
You know what I think? Other people have done the same. I think it was Donald Trump Jr. I'm going to correct myself. But, excuse me, he appeared yesterday on The View, and he defended a tweet where he apparently revealed...
That's right. The whistleblower's name.
I've revealed it, but everybody...
We knew it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's one of those nutty Italians.
Yeah, that's right. He's a disgraceful Italian. Say it right. He is a disgrace to the Italian immigrants that came to this country because, believe me, he's what we would call a rat.
So he says, the name's been in the public domain for weeks. He said, everybody knows who it was anyway. He said, I don't think I should have to forego my First Amendment rights.
That's right.
And the name is out there, he said. And
right.
So they said, so you don't regret doing it? He said, I don't regret doing it. I don't think I should have to forego my rights. It's out there. I read it in the article. I've been reading it for a week. I saw it on the Drudge Report. This is not some... Everybody in Washington, and I'm saying this, everybody in Washington, D.C. knows who it is.
That's right.
Everybody.
It's a big deal now. Hey, look at his attorney come out of the closet, too.
Yeah.
2017, saying we got this cool all planned already.
Yeah, no, that's another
thing. This is how it's going to happen, man. Come on.
I think this whole thing, and I think you and I have chatted about this before, I think this whole impeachment thing is going to dissipate.
Well, let me tell you something. Trump is going to hit a strike like you've never seen with this whole impeachment thing. These people, they're getting him reelected. First of all, he had no problem to begin with, I don't believe, getting reelected. And secondly, they're making him walk right in, Paul. They've got nothing to offer. These people are a bunch of crazy morons, and the people are beginning to see it. Believe me, when I let me tell you something. When I went back to Rochester, I couldn't live there for nothing. Everywhere you turn, you see a sign on the street. New York State statue. You can't do this. New York State statue. You can't do this. But they did have plastic straws everywhere I went.
They did. Well, there you go. So they allowed plastic straws, but they regulate everything else?
That's it. Everything. Oh, wow. It's disgusting, Paul.
Is it really?
And let me tell you, this city is just dilapidated and old. It's Democrat run.
It's sad.
Every Democrat run city is dilapidated, depressing. Even the people, they're depressing as can be. It's terrible.
It seems like the people that have the money move out of these areas. It leaves the people that don't have the money and depend on the government. And, of course, the government can never do it right.
No.
And it's a very sad scenario. Of course, look at Florida. We're getting so many of the people from New York. And
well, they better change their ways of thinking if they're coming down here, because they got to realize why they're moving from there.
Right.
But you know what? These people are so stupid, they come to another place and carry on just with the way it was.
Thinking that because they're down there, it's funny. Yeah, they go to a better place, but they don't realize why it's better.
That's right. That's
crazy.
Right.
Crazy.
We're going to have to educate him, Paul. Well,
we're going
to have to educate him real quick, believe me.
So,
go ahead.
No, that's all right. I just wanted to go a little bit further on this whistleblower and the guy that is his attorney. I mean, all of a sudden, as soon as they open up these hearings, by the way, these hearings that the Democrats are holding on the impeachment inquiry are going to be made public on Wednesday.
Only what they want you to hear.
And your favorite moderator, Adam Schiff, will be at the helm. You'll be able to, while you're cutting here, you'll be able to watch Adam Schiff as he leads the group in what we would call a very impartial and fair treatment of our president.
Well, let me tell you, it's not going nowhere whatsoever. Uh-huh. Like, all they're doing is wasting more money. Just think of it. By the time they're done, they're going to have over $150 million in the last 2 years into all this baloney. They're all talking about the poor need help. And well, there's their help, people. I got news for you. All this money they're wasting was the help they could have helped these poor people, the veterans, and everything else.
So, meanwhile, what are the Democrats accomplishing?
Nothing. Not a damn thing. They can't even get him impeached.
That's true. Everything's falling apart for them.
Yeah, I mean, the Democrat Party is falling apart, and Bloomberg's going to be their savior, too. Forget about it. They got better luck with Michelle Obama.
Was Nancy Pelosi originally from New York? She seems to have an Eastern accent.
I have no idea where she's from, but she's another disgrace to the Italians, believe me. Because she is an Italian. I don't know where these people came from, to be honest with you.
She might be related to the Eric Schmuck.
No. There's no relation whatsoever.
No, not to you, to the whistleblower. I was just trying to say.
Oh, yeah, well, it could be. The
guy's name is...
Well, this is all going to come tumbling down on them. And I tell you what, you're going to see indictments coming up. They're all crapping their pants right now. That's why they're trying to do this. I think you're going to see indictments coming up. And I tell you, you're going to see John Brennan, James Clapper, Susan Rice, Loretta Lynch. At least Lisa Page, she's the main one, man. She's the one turning on everybody for everything. That's beautiful.
Well, I hope that they eventually do come out with a report. Everybody is waiting and waiting and waiting.
Oh, listen, let's face the facts. This is a planned coup against an elected president of the United States. It is nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're trying to beat him in the election this way by slandering his name, and it is a coup against the president. It's been planned from the day he got inaugurated, and they need to go down for this, Paul, period.
They always say the truth will out. Do you believe in this case it will?
Oh, I think it's going to happen like you've never seen. Trump, let me tell you, it's like I told you before, these people are in the front playing checkers on a Cracker Barrel in my barber shop, and Trump is in the back room playing chess with 3D with them, and they have no clue. They're going down, and he's going to be the one to do it, because he's got a vendetta out against them now. Let's be real, wouldn't you?
I would be very upset. I don't think I could take what he's taken. I mean, I would not want to run again after all of the beatings that I would have been given by the mainstream media.
But you see, he thrives on
apparently
this stuff.
Apparently, you're right.
Why he is, This is why he is where he is. If we had a president like him 30 years ago, none of this country would not be in the shape that it's in today. Believe me.
Andrew, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. You always bring that energy, and, you know, I always feel more optimistic. I hope our listeners do whenever you come on. Thank you so much.
All right, Paul, you take care, buddy. I'll see you in a little bit.
See you in a little bit, my friend. There he is. Right, bye-bye, Andrew. The master barber himself in great fettle, whatever the word fettle means, fit and fettle. All right, let's take our final break. And among other things, when we come back, we're going to talk about your smartphones and the greatest movies of all time.
Native dancers and the charming songs. But wait a minute, something's wrong.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
All right, we are back for that final segment of Freedom Works. And this is kind of scary. There is an increasing body of research that shows smartphones can shorten our lives. Ed, do you have a smartphone? Okay, most people do. They can interfere with your sleep. They can interfere with your productivity, your mental health, and your impulse control. It says here, even having a smartphone within reach can reduce your available cognitive capacity. I'm beginning to worry about this. I think the stress thing is easy to understand.
Oh, come on. The same could be said about family members.
Well, absolutely. But you don't carry them in your pocket. You do a smartphone.
Remember when... What was it, about 10 years ago, these things supposedly gave us cancer.
Cell phones.
Yeah, the head, too close to the head.
That's right.
Brain cancer.
Yeah, I haven't heard much about that. You're right.
We haven't heard anything yet.
So do you think people adapt to a thing, for instance, you know, you can go anywhere these days, and somebody will pull out their smartphone or the pad thing, and... You know, that's a good question. Let's find out. And then they go right to their pad and they check.
Oh, I do it all the time.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
So
when I can't remember something and it bugs me until I...
You get your pad out.
Yeah.
That, from that standpoint, in and of itself, that sounds good because you can get research answered right away.
Sure, I think you're learning things.
But you don't think that with all the other things going on with that communication piece that it's not stressing you out a little bit?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
I mean, if that's what caller ID's for. If you see somebody who's calling you, you don't want to talk to them because they stress you out, let it go to voicemail.
Yeah, or, you know, when you're doing your, what's the term when you're typing something to somebody over a smartphone these days?
Tweeting or messaging?
Yeah, well, it's the messaging, but anyway.
No,
texting.
We want to remind listeners.
Texting.
We want to remind listeners that Paul does not own a phone.
I don't own a. I don't know how to text. I have a cell phone that I have, but I have to turn it on when I.
I remember when it first came out, and people were texting, and I didn't understand why not just call them. Why are you texting?
Exactly.
You know why?
Because, that's what I thought.
Because then you don't have to talk to them.
That's true.
Because there are certain people that turn a couple of words into a paragraph when a response.
Exactly. But do you want to get carpal tunnel so you don't have to talk to them by texting them? I don't even want to text them.
I do have. My right wrist is bad.
So am I not? So
well, I type at work, too, here, you know. So it could be
well,
that.
Well, there you go. Well, you
have can't to, say it from the phone.
You have to, in your job, I understand that. You have that kind of a job. But just think, with all of these people doing all of that stuff, and even carpal tunnel, that's all part of the stress. If I start having a problem with my fingers and stuff like that.
I think there are bigger things in life to stress over than phones.
All right. Anyway, let's see. Where was I on this thing? Says even having a smartphone can reduce available cognitive capacity. So then they talk about cortisol, often mislabeled as the primary fight or flight hormone that springs into action when we are facing a threat. But cortisol is produced when we are under stress and blah, blah, blah. So what they're saying is you're under stress a lot when you're using a smartphone or a pad. And because you're under stress, it actually with the cortisol stuff, you're actually shortening your life. So everybody, you're probably going to be more aware of your surroundings and research, but you might not live as long. So that, I guess, is the point of all of that. Anyway, all right, on to better things. Ed, we've got our Tampa Bay Buccaneers hosting the Arizona Cardinals this Sunday. And here's I've been reading about Jameis Winston and whether or not I think he's coming up to a make-or-break kind of a contract year thing.
Well, yeah.
So what are we going to do? Are we going to keep him or are we going to get rid of him?
Well, it depends on what happens in these final, let's see, we got 8 games. And I think this is probably going to be the most important one. They've been on the road now for almost 6 weeks, 7 if you count the bye. And they're home for the first time, like 6 weeks counting the bye. They're home for the first time. A lot's been going on and talking about how bad Jameis has been playing.
He played fairly well in the last game, right?
No, that's not the term. I heard he played okay. He played okay.
Fairly well.
But you know what? When you're the number one overall pick, you're in your fifth, you've got 5 years in the league, you'd expect a guy play better than okay. Now look at Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, who they played last week with the Seahawks, that's a franchise quarterback. That's a guy that won the game for him.
Yeah, but there's only so many franchise quarterbacks. Tom Brady's
well,
and Russell
Wilson.
Well,
then he doesn't get paid as a franchise quarterback. If he wants to come back here next year, he's not going to get $20 million a year. That's what the franchise quarterbacks go for. He's not a franchise quarterback. Then demote, I don't want to say demote him, but get a running back. Get change the passing game where he can get rid of it quickly and doesn't have to make decisions. Be a game manager, not a game breaker.
Do you think the Bucs are going to keep him?
It's, you know, I hope not, because ticket sales of the last 2 years have really shown how upset the fans are and don't want him back. Well, the whole Uber driving thing and, you know, get caught with that and get suspended last year. You know, I've got many friends that won't go to the games anymore because of him.
So we got to either trade for a good, better quarterback, or we got to get one in the draft.
There's quite a few good ones in the draft, and the Bucs at 2-6 right now. And I think if they're 2-7 after Sunday, I think the ball starts to roll to next year. It has to.
Right.
I mean, because you're not gonna rip off 7 games
playoffs
in a row. You're
right.
Not going to get in.
Not going to make the playoffs.
So you start looking at next year, and look what they had to do. You know, Fitzpatrick last year, the quarterback who took Jameis' place because he was suspended, they ran him out of town because they didn't want him to have any competition. Now, every other position on the football team has competition. And you got to coddle this guy because you don't want him to look over his shoulder? Well, you know what? The experiment didn't work. He doesn't have any backup. He doesn't have any competition. And he still stinks. Or he played okay, you know.
Yep, I hear you. Well, there's a lot of teams that have the quarterback issues right now. It's not just the Buccaneers, but I think it's a very intriguing question. Anyway, thank you for that, Ed. It is time for you to get over to the drums, because now we've done the greatest movies of all time before. We do movies a lot on top 10 lists, but we've never done the Rotten Tomatoes top 10 greatest movies of all time. And apparently Rotten Tomatoes is a very, despite the name, is a very respected resource of movie critics reviewing. So here we go. Without further ado, the top 10 Rotten Tomatoes greatest movies of all time. Number 10. Ed, have you ever heard of Moonlight? It was made in 2016. I have not. Moonlight.
I haven't either.
Okay. Fair enough. Number 9. And this one I have heard of. It's been on television a lot. The Third Man. Orson Welles was in. I know. It's an older movie, 1949. But if you ever get a chance to see it, it is very, very good. All right. Number 8. And this is going back even further. My dad took me to see this, believe it or not, in a movie house. Not because it was made at that time. It wasn't. But it was Modern Times. It was a Charlie Chaplin movie made in 1936. And it was basically done silent, even though in 1936 the talkies were around. All right, number 7. Mad Max, Fury Road. Did you see that one?
No.
That was good. I saw it on DVD. 2015. Yeah. All right, number 6. Get Out.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
From a year ago?
I'm not kidding you. 2017, two years ago.
That was awful.
But you see, this is based on people's reviews. I don't know how they do it, but it's like a combination of people. But I don't know how that got in there, but it did. Get Out got in. All right, number 5. Black Klansman.
No.
2018, have you heard of it?
No.
I haven't either. All right, number 4. Citizen Kane. It's been considered by many to be the greatest movie ever made. It was made in 1941 by Orson Welles about the William Randolph Hearst, the newspaper publisher. All right. Ed is just standing there, sitting there going, what the heck are you talking about? Number 3. Your favorite movie, Ed, The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, it's a good movie.
Yeah, it was. 1939, and it continues to amaze, right? Mm-hmm. Number 2. Lady Bird? Must have been about Lady Bird Johnson? Lyndon Johnson's wife?
Maybe
2017?
I said the title sounds
the
familiar.
The Shock. Yeah. Lady Bird. Unless it's a totally different thing. I
think that is Lady Bird. I can't remember who the woman that starred in that.
But you know of it, at least.
I know of it, but did not see it.
And did it have to do with Linda Johnson's wife?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Ed. I know it's a crazy patchwork here, but I'm going to ask you, what do you think is Rotten Tomatoes' greatest movie of all time?
After this?
Yeah.
After that list?
I know. I agree with you. It's like anything, right?
I'll have to say Titanic.
Titanic's a good guess.
And not the black and white one.
Would you consider The Godfather?
Godfather, yeah. I've never seen the whole thing.
No kidding. Neither one? One or two?
No.
Okay, roll the drums.
I have all three, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, the greatest Rotten Tomatoes film of all time was Black Panther.
Oh, you got to be kidding.
I'm not kidding, and I saw the movie on DVD.
Did you?
It's okay, but it ain't the greatest movie of all time.
There you go, with that okay.
Yeah, it's just an okay movie. It had good special effects. So what?
Jeez.
Computer animated special effects, but other than that, I think this is crazy. But hey, it's Rotten Tomatoes. That's why it's called Rotten Tomatoes. Thank you for joining us so much on Freedom Works. We will be back Monday. Have a great weekend. Well,